I'd just like to show you that God doesn't always answer prayer as we would like it to be answered, but then in spite of this, he's always there and he's always caring. My Christian life had been fairly shallow, really. I'd been a Christian since I was quite a young child, and I'd had a lot of series of peaks when I'd been determined that from now on I'd be really keen and I'd really try to live the Christian life as it should be lived. And then at others I'd just sort of drift along, doing the right things, but not always with my heart in the right place. And I asked God at these times, when I came to the point where I realised that something had to happen, I couldn't go on like this forever, I prayed that the Lord would really deepen my spiritual life. And I didn't really realise in quite what a way he was going to do it. I was expecting my second baby. I'd already had one miscarriage, so it was pretty important to me to have this baby. And spontaneously, I went into labour at 30 weeks. That's 7.5 months. I had a baby girl, 2.5 pounds. The doctors still don't know why it happened. There was really no medical reason. And this made me realise that it was really God's plan for me. When the day she was born, I read Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. I'd been reading Revelation and I just happened to read this day. "Stop being afraid of what you're about to suffer, for the devil will soon throw some into prison to test you. You will be persecuted for 10 days. Remain faithful even when facing death, and I will give you the crown of life." I read into this as I wanted to read into it, and I thought, oh, if I remain faithful and trust the Lord, then I'll be rewarded and my baby will live. I spent a week in hospital, and of course, when you don't have a baby at feeding times, it's very hard, and I spent a lot of time crying and really pleading with the Lord about my baby. A week later, she was transferred to Camperdown for special care. I think the hardest thing was that nobody would say she'd be all right. First of all, when she was born, they'd say, oh, the first 48 hours are critical. And then when that was up, I'd say, now, do you think she'll be all right? No, the first few days are critical. And then they'd say, no, the first week's critical. And I began to wonder if they'd ever say she was going to be all right. Finally, after 8 days, the doctor said, I think she's going to make it. She survived this long, and with a premature baby, usually that means that they're going to be all right. We went to visit her that night in Camperdown, and as soon as I saw her, I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget the feeling of dread I felt when I looked at her. I told the sister, and she just laughed at me. She thought I was being another worrying mother. I told my husband, he said, stop being silly, the doctor said she's going to be all right. I cried all the way home in the car because I knew that something was wrong, and I'm sure that it was God preparing me, because that night she suddenly died. And then I realised just what that verse had said. I would be persecuted for 10 days, and when she was 10 days old, she died. Over the next few days, I really did have a sense of God's peace, and I knew that he was there in a way that I've never ever felt before or since. I felt that if I turned around suddenly, I'd see him standing there. I could almost feel his arms around me, and I had a sense of incredible peace that's really amazing at a time like that when you think you'd be feeling absolutely terrible. There were tears, but the Lord understood. And while I was trusting him like that, I felt that I could understand. And I did learn from this that God only caters for things as they happen, not for things that we worry might happen. We think, how on earth could I stand it? How could I cope with it? But when it happens, the Lord's always there and he always gives us exactly what we need to take it. The next day, I literally opened my Bible, something that doesn't happen very often, and I was always a bit sceptical about, really. I just opened my Bible to these verses. The Spirit of the Lord God, it's Isaiah chapter 61, by the way. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to captives and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of God's favour to them has come and the day of his wrath to their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel he will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness, for God has planted them like strong and graceful oaks for his own glory. And I knew from that verse 3, that God was going to use my baby for his own glory. And the wonderful thing was that I knew he had my baby in his arms. The hymn, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, Safe on His Gentle Breast, became very real to both John and I. And I thought, what stronger or gentler arms could be holding my baby if I couldn't? In the weeks that followed, unfortunately, I did get down and I said, why, Lord, why did it have to happen to me? Why couldn't you have made my baby live? And then I started to feel down. But Psalm chapter 27, verse 15, David says, I had fainted lest I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. And this was exactly what I had to believe. I had to say, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand why you've done it. But I know that you have a good reason. And I know that you love me and that everything that happens to me is for my ultimate good, even if I can't feel or see it right now. And I do know that he took the pain away very quickly. It was a wonderful way that he did do it. And I wrote down this thought, which ties in very well with what was being said this morning. I had to face the fact then, for me to live is what? Was it to have a baby? Was it to have children? Or was the most important thing in my life Christ? Was that the most important thing, just to have what he wanted for me? The next problem I had to face was my next pregnancy. I think when you've lost a few babies, you feel a total failure. You feel that you're not functioning adequately as a woman. And somebody said to me, who's also lost a baby, her problem was that she had an incompetent cervix. And every time they wrote this down on her form, incompetent, the word stood out in practically red letters, and she felt totally useless. And I felt that after losing two babies, I was bound to lose this one too. But the Lord gave me some other verses in Isaiah, which I'd been reading through after this. So Isaiah chapter 54, verses 7 to 10. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In a moment of anger I turn my face a little while, but with everlasting love I will have pity on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And these were the verses that I clung to. Just as in the time of Noah I swore that I would never again permit the waters of a flood to cover the earth and destroy its life, so now I swear that I will never again pour out my anger on you as I have during this exile. For the mountains may depart and the hills disappear, but my kindness shall not leave you. My promise of peace for you will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you. And I had to trust that that was true, that even though I think you're absolutely neurotic after in a pregnancy after you've lost a couple of babies, and I did tend to run to the doctor with every little ache and pain in my failing moments, I knew that I had to trust the Lord that this was right, that he wouldn't take this baby. And he didn't. He gave me a very understanding doctor and husband through that pregnancy too. And I've now got four little girls, so the Lord certainly replaced the one he took. And I do pray that God will use this experience in my life, maybe to help somebody else, but I know that he has already used it to deepen my spiritual life and to bring me into a deeper relationship with him. This is a very slow process. We can't see that a tree is growing, but when we look back, we can see the difference. And I think too that with a tree, the storms and the wind strengthen it and make it strong. And with us, we have to have problems and difficulties to make us strong as Christians. We don't understand why things happen, but if my prayer had been answered, I would probably have said, thank you, Lord, and very quickly I would have forgotten what he did for me, and I would never have experienced his nearness, that incredible sense that he was actually there. I would never have learnt to trust in his goodness, that he really loved me, despite anything that happened. And I know that I'll only understand fully why it's happened when I'm actually with him and he can explain to me personally.